नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 3, texts 15 through 17. So we're just going to recite text number 15, okay? Yate mi vikrita bhavas Tata te vikritai saha Nana virya prita bhuta Virajam jana yanti Someone you could chant? Matajis. Okay, word for word. Yata as. Ime, these material creations, made of material energy. Avikrita, actually not disintegrated. Bhavaha, with such a conception. Yata, similarly, te, they, vikritai, saha, association with these different elements, coming from the total material energy. Nana virya, every element is full of different energies. Pritak, separated. Bhutaha, becoming. Virajam, the whole cosmic manifestation. Janayanti, create. He, indeed. Translation. The Mahatattva, the total material energy, is undivided, but because of the material modes of nature, it appears to separate into earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Because of the living entity, Jiva Bhuta, these separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is always present. Therefore, the total material energy never actually enters the creation. Similarly, although you are perceived by our senses, because of your presence, you cannot be perceived by the senses nor experienced by the mind or words. Avan manasa gochara. With our senses, we can perceive some things, but not everything. For example, we can use our eyes to see, but not to taste. Consequently, you are beyond perception by the senses. Although in touch with the modes of material nature, you are unaffected by them. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, undivided supersoul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. You never entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you existed there already. Purport. This same understanding is explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachyaham deshvabhastita. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The Supreme Personality of God, it is not perceivable through the gross material senses. It is said that Lord Sri Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc. cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjana churita bhakti valochanena santa sadaiva ridayeshu vilokayanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of God at Govinda always, within oneself and outside oneself, if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards Him. Thus, for people in general, it is not he is not visible. In the above-mentioned verse from Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is said that although He is all-pervading, everywhere present, He is not conceivable by the material senses. But actually, although we cannot see Him, everything is resting in Him. As discussed in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of His two different energies, the superior spiritual energy and the inferior material energy. Just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting in that energy. Yet one should not conclude that because He is spread all over, He has lost His personal existence. To refute such arguments, the Lord says, "I am everywhere, and everything is in me, but still I am aloof." For example, a king heads a government, which is but the manifestation of the king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king. and each department is resting on the king's power. But still, one cannot expect the king to be present in every department personally. This is a crude example. Similarly, all the manifestations that we see and everything that exists both in the material world and in the spiritual world are resting on the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creation takes place by the diffusion of his different energies, and as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, he is everywhere present by his personal representation, the diffusion of his different energies. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. To eradicate this argument, Vasudeva said, "My dear Lord, it is not very wonderful that you appeared within the womb of Devaki, for the creation was also made in that way. You were lying in the Kalja ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing, innumerable universes came into existence. When you entered each of the universes as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, then again you expanded yourself as Shirodakshayi Vishnu and entered into the heart of all living entities and entered even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but a combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears as such elements are newly created. But actually, the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are always existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence, because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as a sun is a source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material nature, but actually the three modes of material nature cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence, and therefore everything is illuminated. We can understand from Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord. And from that Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is further stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the support of the Brahman effulgence. Originally, he is the root cause of everything, but persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts material qualities. Such conclusions are not mature, but are made by the less intelligent. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Braskachate Shatarne. So Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. He is non-different from his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, his name, his instructions, his entourage, and his paraphernalia. This is the nature of the absolute truth. There is no difference between Krishna's inside or his outside. Just like some nonsense so-called scholars say, then when Krishna says, surrender unto me, they say this doesn't mean to surrender unto Krishna, but with the unborn within Krishna. But Krishna being absolute, there's no difference between his inside and outside. There's no difference between his name and himself. There's no difference between himself and his form as a deity. Just like either we worship the Supreme Lord in his form as Satchidananda Vigraha, or we worship his form in the deity, we get the same results because Krishna is absolute. So his name is the same of himself. Just like earlier, we were reading about his name being the same as itself. Not like in the material world, where if you chant mango, 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 not that you'll be able to taste the mango. But if a devotee chants the name of Krishna, he realizes Krishna, and he realizes his Krishna's company is there. So this is his absolute nature. And Krishna, being absolute, any one of his senses could act as any one of his other senses. Seeing Krishna could eat. Sometimes the atheists, they say that, you're putting food before the deity, but we see that the food is there. It's not being eaten by Krishna. But we can understand that Krishna, he eats the food simply by his glance. So all the different parts of his body could act as any other part. Just by his glance, he could eat. Just by his glance, he impregnates material nature, and thus all the living entities come forth. So this is his absolute nature. And we have, and there's that pastime also where Krishna was coming to Mathura, and he asked the washerman to give him some nice clothes, and he refused. So Krishna just took out his hand, just cut his head right off. So in this way, he's all powerful. He could do anything with any one of his senses. In this way, the materialists, they can't understand how Krishna is different from his body. They take Krishna to be like one of us. Since we are different from our bodies, they conclude that Krishna must be different from his body, because they think that Krishna is just an ordinary human being. So there are three aspects of the supreme absolute truth, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, which is Krishna's Brahman effulgence, Brahman, Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and Bhagavan is the supreme personality of Godhead, his personal feature. And these other two aspects, Brahman and Paramatma, they are resting on Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate word and the absolute truth. So as the sun is localized, it's in one place. Although it is one place, is diffusing light throughout the universe. And even though it's diffusing so much light, it's so much bigger like that, still it's understood that actually the sun is more important, not the sunshine. And within the sun globe, there are different personalities, and they have bodies made of fire. So one may say, how is this possible? How can somebody have a body of fire and not be affected? Because this is the nature of the soul. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the soul cannot be burnt by fire nor withered by wind. It cannot be cut by any weapons. So in this way, they can live on the sun. They could have fiery bodies like that. So these different living entities live there, and they're not affected. So if they cannot be affected, if the soul cannot be affected by the material elements, then what to speak of the Supreme Soul? He cannot be affected. He cannot be affected by the three modes of material nature. So Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the source of all spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. And he's the controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller. It's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. And everyone is working under his direction. And it's also stated in the Brahma Samhita that Durga is very powerful, and she's creating, maintaining, annihilating everything. But she is simply a maidservant under the direction of Govinda. So in this way, Krishna is controlling everyone. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. And simply by his will, everything is automatically done. Just like if a man, just like a very rich man, he's in his house, but in his factory, everything is being done automatically, simply by his energy. His energy means his money, his power, his influence. So Krishna is the owner of everything. He owns the material energy, the spiritual energy, as he says in the seventh chapter, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energy. So these are his energies. He owns all of these things. And he's the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything. We think that we're the owners of this, that, and so many different things. But we don't actually own anything. We don't actually control anything. At any moment, it could be taken away from us. We are simply renters here in this material world. Krishna is the landlord, and we simply are renting. At a certain time, we will lose our lease like that. So, it's mentioned here how Krishna is non-different from the material creation, but he is not there. Just like the example is given of how fire and heat and light are the same, but heat and light are not fire. So the energetic and the energy, they are the same, but simultaneously, the energy is not the energetic. This is described as a chintya beta beta tattva, simultaneously one and different. So in this way, Krishna is expanding himself. Everything is emanating from him, but I stated that he is not there. He is not there personally. So in this way, we have to worship Krishna directly. We can't worship the material energy because he is not there. Just like the materialists, they are very much attracted to matter, the material energy, and therefore they worship. They worship the material energy. They worship, like the scientists, they worship the material elements. They devote so much attention to that those things. But this is simply the worship of Durga, the mother of material energy. And the nationalists, those who are nationalists, you know, I want to fight for my country, I love my country, they are simply worshiping the material energy. So this is Shaktas. They worship the material energy. So this is not recommended. One has to worship Krishna. He is the root of everything. To worship material energy, this is not direct. This is not worship of God. Indirectly, it is worship of God, but it's not directly. We want to directly worship God. This is a recommendation. Just like by watering the root of the tree, all the branches and leaves and fruits become nourished. So by worshiping Krishna directly, everyone becomes satisfied. So another understanding of the devotees is that although God is not there personally, they also see that he's within every atom. He's in the atom of every atom, and wherever there's Krishna, he is not alone. So this is another understanding of the devotees of the Lord. So as the sun has been generating light for millions and millions of years, and still it's not being diminished. It's not becoming less and less. It's not that is becoming depleted more and more. So this is an example that's given. So similarly, Krishna, although so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. It's like a piece of paper. You take a piece of paper and you rip it up and it just becomes little pieces. No, but in spiritual life, 1 - 1 = 1. So that is spiritual mathematics. So Krishna, simply by his effulgence, everything is coming. It's mentioned how the material universes, they're emanating simply by his effulgence. In this way, the whole material world is manifesting. He is the cause of all causes, and we can understand him. Another way of understanding Krishna is by his parts and parcels. Many times Prabhupada gave this example. If you want to understand the whole, you can understand it by examining the part. So we are samples of Krishna. We are part and parcel of him. So by studying the part, one can understand the whole. Just like the drop of water from the ocean, it has all the qualities of the ocean. So similarly, we have all the qualities of God, but in a minute quantity. So that is our difference. We are the same of God in quality, but we are different in quantity. So to understand all this, we have to engage in tapasya, austerity. It's not simply by book knowledge. That one can understand knowledge, but one has to engage in the process of devotional service, as delineated by the sages, as coming down through the disciplic succession, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So he gave us so many instructions. He told us to chant 16 rounds a day, and simply by doing this, everything else will follow. There's so many rules and regulations, but by chanting, it gives us the strength. We get numerical strength to follow everything else. And coming to the program, rising early in the morning, attending Mangala Artik. So this is a sign of somebody who's advancing in spiritual life. But if we feel lazy during the time of Mangala Artik, then it's understood that we're not advancing spiritually. So these are very important things that we have to engage in. Very simple tapasya. Fall before regular principles, chant 16 rounds a day, hear and chant about Krishna. And by doing that and surrendering everything, then our success is guaranteed. So Krishna is giving us instructions. He's giving instructions to everybody. He's situating everyone's heart, as is mentioned in the purport, as a super soul. And according to our desire, he will give us guidance. So if we want to become a devotee, he'll give us that opportunity. And if we want to forget him, he will give us that opportunity. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So we have a good opportunity in this human form of life. This human form of life is an opportunity to get out of the cycle of birth and death. It's compared to, probably give this example of a bird. Someone brought a bird to a field and let him loose out of the cage. And the bird simply went back into the cage. So he was attached to going back in the cage. He wasn't thinking, why should I go back to the cage? I could fly away. I could become free now. So that's also our situation, that we have this human form of life. This is our opportunity. We should take advantage of it and not go back into the cage of this material existence. Get out of this cage. It's not that, as the materialists think, that after this body everything is finished, so just enjoy as much as you can, it doesn't really matter. No, it's we have to transmigrate again and again and again. And who knows how long will it take. There's no guarantee what type of body you're going to get. And even if we take up Krishna consciousness in our next lives, what's the guarantee that we'll be successful in that lifetime? So as Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur said, that one should become Krishna conscious in this very lifetime. One shouldn't wait for another birth. One should become successful now. So Krishna consciousness is the transcendental, our transcendental situation. It's the spiritual success of our life. And by coming to that platform, if completely, like Prabhupada mentions in the introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, about the absolute nature of the soul. So Krishna has his absolute nature, and we also have an absolute nature. He mentions how, just like Krishna, he can eat by his seeing. So similarly, when we're completely on the spiritual platform, we could also eat just by seeing. And on that platform, any one of our senses could act like any one of our other senses. So that this is a situation. Okay, so we'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions on any of these points? Okay, thank you very much. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
Original.